The following program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll love Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama, in the Skippy Hollywood Theater. Starring Cesar Romero in Velvet Nocturne. And now, here is the producer, director, and host of the Skippy Hollywood Theater, Mr. Les Mitchell.
Many of you who listen to our show regularly have probably heard me invite stars to revisit our theater, and when they fail to show up within a reasonable length of time, you put the line down as one of those standard courtesies that don't mean a thing. Actually, it's quite a job finding the right story for the right star at the right time, for Hollywood movie stars are pretty busy people. We hope that you're as delighted as we are that this week's star could fit this return engagement into a very busy schedule. Welcome, Caesar.
Thank you very much, Les. The story and the time are certainly right so far as I'm concerned, and I hope I prove to be right in the role that you've cast me in.
You'll do all right, I'm sure, Caesar. I'm very familiar with your work. I've seen you in many, many pictures, and you were here before, remember?
Yes, of course, and I'm looking forward to the play.
And when the final curtain goes down, Caesar, I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes.
Why, sure, but you didn't have to tell me. I've been here before, remember?
Okay, you win. And your prize will be a full jar of chunk-style Skippy peanut butter.
And don't think I won't take it.
That's the spirit I like to see. And now, here is Van Desitel to tell you why people love Skippy.
You know, my idea of something really worth talking about is something people really enjoy, like Skippy peanut butter. People enjoy Skippy because it's so downright delicious. Because it gives you the exact flavor of luscious, plump, freshly roasted peanuts. You see, Skippy is different from old-style peanut butters because of the way it's made, by a new and exclusive process. The Skippy process prevents any oil separation, so there's never a chance of dryness. Skippy is always fresh, sweet, and easy to spread. And another result of the exclusive Skippy process, Skippy never turns rancid. It's as digestible as it is delicious. Add it all up and you'll understand why we say, if you like peanuts, you'll love Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of Velvet Nocturne, written by Lawrence DuPont and starring Mr. Cesar Romero. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
You sent for me, Doctor?
Yes, Mrs. Haven. Please be seated.
Something's wrong. John isn't improving. He's not going to get well.
Now, Mrs. Haven, your husband is recovering from the accident very nicely. His cuts and abrasions are responding to treatment quite satisfactorily. As for his eyes, you already know that he'll never see again.
Oh. I thought when you called that maybe...
I called because we're not at all satisfied with the way your husband is progressing from, shall we say, an emotional standpoint.
Well, you mean his despondency?
Exactly. He's dramatized his blindness until he almost seems to take pleasure in his misfortune. Each day he slips a little deeper into his black world. Almost willingly.
Yes, but blindness is such a terrible tragedy to a concert pianist.
It's a tragedy to anyone. We've had other cases where patients overcame their handicaps through the sheer will to conquer. But it takes fight, Mrs. Havens. We can't get John to fight.
But you don't understand his problem, Doctor. Unless you'd been a concert pianist, you couldn't possibly.
You were once a pianist yourself, weren't you, Mrs. Havens?
Oh, not like John. I've seen him study a score for hours without touching the piano, and then play one short passage over and over again.
Mm-hmm. That may be the clue to our problem. John was a perfectionist. In many cases, an obsession for perfection is based in fear of failure, fearing now that he will be unable to play as skillfully as he did before his accident. He refuses to undertake the possibility of failure.
Perhaps so. Oh, but I remember once when he played an entire Tchaikovsky concerto with an infected finger. He winced with pain every time he touched a key. He was afraid of failure then, too. But he was also aware of his obligation to his audience.
Then that's encouraging. If you can make him fight to overcome this big handicap the way he overcame his infected finger, he'll find his way back to normal life again. If not...
Oh, he has to, Doctor. If there's anything I can do to make him fight, I'll do it.
Well, it'll take a great deal of patience and understanding, my dear. We've done all we can. Now it's up to you.
Comfortable, darling?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful having you back home again. There's so many things I've wanted to tell you about.
Well, I ought to make a good listener. There won't be anything I can see to distract my attention.
Why do you tap like that with your pipe?
Practicing for my cane tapping days. Why? Does it annoy you?
Oh, no, darling, I don't mind it at all. I almost forgot. Hungry?
Not very.
Here. I bought a box lunch at the railroad station before we got on the train. Now, let me see. What have we got here? Ah, a chicken sandwich. Your favorite.
Yeah.
Here, let me unwrap it for you.
That isn't necessary. I can handle it.
All right, John.
Kathy?
Yes, dear?
Why did you buy a box lunch?
Why? Well, didn't you enjoy it, John?
Yes, I did. But answer my question. Why did you buy a box lunch instead of having lunch in the dining car as we usually do?
Oh, I just thought it might be crowded and we wouldn't be able to...
Wasn't it because you didn't want me to go groping through the train to the diner?
Well, no, darling, of course not. It was just that
It was
I...
just because you didn't want me to be seen, going into the diner by the hand and have everybody pity you because you had to serve as my seeing eye.
Oh, John, you're being unfair. I was just trying to...
I know. You were trying to save me embarrassment. But you needn't have Kathy. I wouldn't have seen their sympathy. You see, I'm blind.
Would you like to have me read to you, John?
If you care to.
I'd love to. Let's see. Let me find a story. Oh, here's one with an interesting title. The Sun Rose at Midnight by Helen Knowles. Helen Knowles. Well, that name sounds familiar. Does it sound familiar to you, darling?
Yeah. She's one of us.
One of us? Well, how do you mean?
She's blind, too. Only she's been that way since birth. She's never known anything else. It's easier to take that way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's right. You must always remember not to remind me of my blindness. Always be careful and never to...
Oh, John, you're being difficult.
Yes, Kathy, I know. A problem in dark glasses.
Well, that isn't true, John. You aren't a problem unless you want to be.
That's poor reasoning, Kathy. I don't want to be blind. But I am. Aren't we almost in, Kathy?
Almost. We're on Upper Park Avenue. We just passed 125th Street.
Dirty red brick tenements. Unmended gray underwear flapping on clotheslines. Grimy kids clinging to the fire escapes waving at the train. Billboards with cartoon art urging people to buy things they don't really need. Soot, dirt, ugliness.
Oh, John, you once loved it so. You said that this was the teeming soul of New York.
Yes, but now I see with my mind, not my eyes.
in the tunnel, John.
Good. I'll feel more at home. I live in one.
Packages for me, darling. I'll find the key. There. Welcome home, dear.
Thanks. I just hope I can find my way around.
Don't go too fast, John. I'll be there to help you in a jiffy.
No, never mind. I'll make it. Oh!
Oh, darling, did you hurt yourself? Oh, I should have thought to move that chair out of the way.
No, it's all right. I'll have to get used to that sort of thing. Let's see. The couch. It ought to be over this way somewhere. And there ought to be an end table at that far end. Uh-huh. The coffee table ought to be right here in front of it. Yes, that's it. I'll have to learn to duck that. The piano, it's over there by the window. The one with the view. Oh!
Oh, be careful, darling.
So this is home. But was that chair always in that spot, Kathy?
Yes. Nothing's been changed.
Not for you, perhaps. Strange. How everything that used to be so familiar should become part of a great, unexplored jungle of obstacles, each piece separated from the other by a certain number of steps.
Come on. Sit down in your chair. I'll turn on the radio. You get comfortable while I take these packages out to the kitchen.
I'm sorry I can't help.
Oh, that's all right. I'll manage very nicely.
I wish I felt that way.
Here, let me light your pipe for you.
No, never mind. I don't want to smoke right now.
Oh, the minute walls. How nice. I'll be right back, darling. If you need anything, call me. Who is that playing, John?
I don't know.
Job of it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Oh, there. Everything put away. Oh, John, I can't hear the music. You're tapping so hard.
Turn that thing off. Turn it off!
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I didn't think.
Never mind. It wasn't your fault. But, Kathy, I can't bear to hear other fingers doing what mine will never be able to do again. Oh, call it professional jealousy, call it stupidity, call it blindness. It doesn't matter. All I know is that I can't stand it, that's all. It does something to me here inside, and I just can't stand it.
I know, John, and I understand.
Do you, Kathy? Do you know what I'm going through?
Yes, darling.
I suppose I'm acting like a baby, but everything is so mixed up and changed. I feel like I'm floundering in some strange, dark sea, and when I feel it closing in around me, I get panicky. I just start thrashing around in a frenzy as though that might help to drive away this black velvet shroud that's wrapped around me, but it doesn't. And I feel myself sinking deeper and deeper. There's nothing to hold on to, Kathy, nothing. And oh, darling, I don't want to go under.
I won't let you, John. I'm here with you. We'll cling to each other.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Velvet Nocturne, starring Mr. Cesar Romero. Now, here's Van de Sattel. Say, what's this I hear about you being in the doghouse, Van?
Oh, that's a sad story, Les. You see, the hot water heater went on the blink Saturday, and my wife called the plumber in to fix it. Well, I happened to be there when he came, and somehow or another we got to talking about Skippy.
He probably brought it up.
I suppose. Anyway, I told him all about Skippy being the world's largest selling peanut butter and how it gives you the exact flavor of luscious, plump, freshly roasted peanuts. And naturally, I explained about the Skippy process, how it prevents any oil separation. So Skippy is always fresh, sweet, and easy to spread. And I was just about to mention that Skippy is easy to digest when he left.
To get some tools, huh?
No, to get some Skippy.
Well, that's wonderful. Everybody should get Skippy.
But Les, he never came back. And by that time, it was too late to get another plumber until Monday.
Uh-oh. Cold water for the weekend, huh?
Oh, my wife was furious.
What'd she say?
Well, it took a new dress to get her to say anything. And then she smiled sweetly and said, "Honey, you're so right when you say, if you like peanuts, you'll love Skippy."
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Mr. Cesar Romero as John in Velvet Nocturne.
I'm home, John. Oh, how did things go today?
Oh, better. I even studied my braille for a while.
Well, aren't you going to ask me what's new with me today?
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry.
I was in Stern's office when Signor Marini called. He wants me to play the Anzio Concerto with the symphony in a broadcast 2 weeks from today. Oh, John, I can hardly believe it. Me playing with Marini and the symphony. Oh, it's too good to be true. Oh, John. What's the matter? Aren't you glad?
They all know I'm finished. So they call my agent and throw a bone to my wife so that she can take care of a dependent.
Oh, John, stop it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy. I'll try not to let it happen again.
It's all right, John. I understand.
Kathy, I'm really sorry. Would you like to have me help you prepare the concerto? I played it in Boston once, remember? And the critics liked it. And I think I can still play it from memory.
Oh, John, would you help me?
Yes, if you really think I could be of help.
Oh, yes, darling, you will be a big help. I'll get the score the first thing in the morning, and we can work on the concerto together. Oh, it's been so long since I've made a professional appearance.
No, 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 Kathy. It has no fire, no assurance.
Oh.
Here, let me show you what I mean. Now, push over.
All right.
There. That's what I mean. It's got to be dramatic, Kathy. After all, this isn't a... Are you listening to me?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. I was just thinking.
Yes? Well, what is it?
John, why don't you play the concerto with Signor Marini instead of me? I'm sure he'd much rather have you as a soloist than...
No. A blind pianist has no place with a symphony. He's better off at some swanky cocktail lounge where he can amuse the customers like a clever monkey.
That's not true. Look at Alec Templeton. Everyone admires him.
Geniuses like Templeton come along just once in a century. This is his century, not mine.
You'll never know what you can do unless you try.
Try for what? For sympathetic applause? The polite, dry hand-clapping of courteous people who applaud not because I play well, but because I do it at all. No, Kathy, I don't want to try for that. I'd sooner go right out now and get my pencil and cup and beg openly.
Do people thrilling to the beauty of the Iliad stop and sympathize with Homer because he was blind? Do people consider Milton a freak because he composed Paradise Lost when he couldn't see to write?
Well, that's different. You can dictate beautiful literature, but you can't play a concerto by proxy.
Oh, but, John, you played it beautifully right now. We've been working on this concerto all week, and you must have played it a dozen times without a single flaw.
The flaws were there, all right. You were listening with your heart instead of your ears.
I can't for the life of me understand why you've let yourself become so, so utterly defeated.
Why not? Only fools deny the obvious.
Okay. But I wonder who is the fool. And that's why I came to see you, Signor Marini. I don't believe he'll ever make the effort to fight his way back to normalcy. He's too convinced he's through as a pianist and too emotional to listen to reason.
Ah, these artistic temperaments. But that is what makes the artist. Many years ago, when I hear John Havens make his debut, I say, a great artist has been heard. Such fire, such feeling, such assurance. Oh, what a pity.
Signor Marini, if you could help him regain his confidence, you would, wouldn't you?
But of course, if there was anything I could do.
Let him play the concerto in my place.
But I do not understand. You just said he would not play professionally.
Not if he knows that's what he's doing. He mustn't know about it ahead of time.
But how you want to arrange that?
With your help, I'll manage. I think maybe the last few months have taught me a little about handling John.
No, Kathy, that won't do at all. What's wrong with you today? Your playing has no feeling at all.
I guess I'm tired and nervous. I just can't seem to do it the way you do.
Oh, nonsense. Why, I've heard you play chopsticks with more enthusiasm, Kathy. I don't believe you're thinking of what this concerto is supposed to express. Remember the soldiers trying to establish a beachhead at Anzio under almost insurmountable odds. Their comrades were being killed on all sides. This is the drama of their hopes, their prayers, their refusal to be licked. Just think of these things, and it'll find its way from your mind to your fingers and into your music.
Oh, I know, John. I do try, but it won't come.
Why, that's ridiculous. Of course it'll come to you. Here, let me show you again what I mean.
Oh, we haven't time to practice any longer, John. Good, bad, or indifferent, it'll have to do as it is right now. We'll have to stop rehearsing now and get dressed. We only have an hour to get to the studio.
What do you mean, we?
Well, aren't you going with me?
No.
Oh, please, John. Please come with me.
No.
But it'll do you a world of good if you just get out of this house into a musical atmosphere
and
again.
Have everyone look at me with pity because I'm blind and because my wife has to earn a living for me now.
John, you remember that day Marino called? You asked me if you could help me. You said you would help me if I wanted you to.
Well, yes, but
I need your help this afternoon more than I've ever needed it before. I need the comfort, the assurance your nearness will give me. I'm asking for nothing more. You'll do this for me, won't you, John?
All right, Kathy. I'll go with you.
Sound familiar, darling?
Yes. Makes me think of the time I played with the Philharmonic at Carnegie. I was paralyzed with fright. I couldn't see because of the footlights.
I remember that night, too. It was the night we met. Oh, this way, John.
No. Don't hold my arm like that. Let me hold your arm. It won't be so obvious.
All right, darling. Oh, here comes Signor Marini. Hello, Signor.
Hello, Kathy. And hello, John.
Hello, Maestro.
It has been a long while since the last time I saw you. 6 years. Your debut with the Philharmonic. Oh, such a brilliant performance.
Well, thank you, Maestro.
I'm sorry we're late. I guess I just have a few minutes to limber my fingers.
Oh, you have a time for that. And you are first on the program. We have a little time yet before we are on the air. I make you big signal when we are ready. I see you later.
What's he going to do, wave a red lantern at you?
Oh, be careful you don't trip over the cables, dear. The piano's over this way. Well, here's my fate. My, what a beautiful piano. John, you can sit right beside me here on the bench.
Oh, no. I'd better not. I'll be on your way.
Oh, no, you won't. It'll be the same as when we worked together at home. I hope I can make the piano sound as beautiful as it looks.
Carnegie Hall. 6 years ago. Those footlights. Couldn't see a thing.
What, did you say something, dear?
What? No, nothing. Oh, no, Kathy, not like that. You're doing exactly what I told you not to do.
Show me. Just once more.
All right, slide over a little.
Keep playing, John. You're on the air.
I'm on.
Remember Carnegie Hall, blinded by footlights, you couldn't even see the conductor, yet you played. Play now.
But Kathy.
Keep going.
Does it sound all right, Kathy?
Sublime. Keep it up.
I was tricked into this, wasn't I?
It doesn't matter. You're doing beautifully.
Is it still going well, Kathy?
I've never heard you play so well. John, Signor Marini has his eyes closed and he's smiling, darling.
Then he doesn't hear the fumbling?
There's no fumbling, nothing but beauty.
Kathy, I'm beginning to feel it.
Oh, darling, I know, I know.
Kathy, I've got it. I've got it. My music is back.
And the curtain falls on Act Two, the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Velvet Nocturne, starring Mr. Cesar Romero, who returns in just a moment.
The world's largest selling peanut butter is Skippy. Because Skippy is not only delicious, it's digestible as well. Yes, Skippy is peanuts in their most delicious, most digestible form. Creamy style Skippy in the blue label jar is smooth and creamy. Chunk style Skippy in the red label jar is creamy too, with crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. Whichever you prefer, if you like peanuts, you'll love Skippy. Now, here is our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Mr. Cesar Romero. Cesar, thank you for a fine job.
Oh, thank you, Les. I enjoyed the role of John very much. And how did you like my piano playing?
It was magnificent, but tell me, why are you holding your hand that way? Something wrong?
Well, I sprained my finger on a credenza.
Well, I hate to mention this, Cesar, but you must mean a cadenza, a musical flourish. A credenza is a piece of furniture, a small buffet or a serving table.
Yes, I know. I hit my finger on one getting up from the dinner table last night.
Oh.
Well, I'm on the mend, Les, and I ought to be in shape for a return to my piano any day now.
And another return to our radio theater one of these days soon, I hope.
I certainly hope so, Les. It's been great doing a repeat, and I'd like to thank you for having me. And also thank Gene Bates, who played Kathy, as well as the rest of the cast, the writer, the sound men, the engineer, and everyone else connected with the show. Goodbye now.
Goodbye, and thanks very much, Cesar Romero.
In the cast, you heard Cesar Romero as John Havens, Gene Bates as Kathy, and Charlie Lung as Marini and as the Doctor. Velvet Nocturne was written by Lawrence DuPont, edited by Bud Lesser, piano effects created by Lou Morey, music composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Velvet Nocturne was directed and produced by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
Our radio theater is very much like a real theater, and when the curtain's gone down on the final act and the star has taken his curtain call and hurried to the wings, the audience begins to depart. But before you go, I'd like to thank you for attending this week's play and invite you back again next week and the weeks to come. Our coming attractions include John Howard, co-starred with Denny Shane, Maxie Bear, Anne DeVorat, Senia Hasso, and many other great stars.
Cesar Romero appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, producers of Mr. Belvedere Goes to College, starring Clifton Webb. Dan Desitel speaking. For the Skippy Hollywood Theater, this program is produced in Hollywood for release at this time.